there, make a couple announcements. I don't want to forget these. Lynn, how much longer are you going to be with us? Till the end of the month. We get Lynn till the end of the month of 2029. But we've been blessed to have Lynn with us. She moved down here. I think this is awesome. And I'm watching more and more people do this. I think this is so cool. She moved down here from Spearfish to take care of her mom. For what was like the last 2 years of her life about? Hallelujah. Glory to God. That is so cool. That's honoring her mom. And then Roland and Jackie sitting right behind. They've had a dream that you're getting to live out right now, but one of the big reasons you moved here is to take care of your folks, to be here to love on them. I think that is so awesome, how people are giving and serving back to their parents. And so praise God. But one more month, we will enjoy it. Sad to see you go, but we do understand. And we're blessed by you and your presence. So thank you. Thank you for your friendship. Then the next thing is, just a heads up, just so you all know, the first Saturday and Sunday in August, we've got about a month away, we're going to redo the car wash. We've got it rescheduled for that time period. Saturday, which is, I want to say, the 4th, Saturday the 4th, and then Sunday the 5th. All right? And it'll be Sunday afternoon, and Saturday there will be more stuff coming. But let people know. And that is a church-wide event where we all work together. So, glory to God. Did you get your Bibles opened up to Matthew chapter 16? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, you're not going to get quiet on me now, are you? No. You're going to keep engaged, keep communicating? Well, okay, Heather, you could get quiet on me now, please. Amen. Okay, just focus, y'all. All right, what's Jesus up to? What is he doing? I want to start reading in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. And when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elisha, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" You know, I like this question. And I like to put it out there. And I know most folks in here, you've been coming to church here for a long time. You've heard me say it. Folks that have been visiting once a year for years now. But just, it's a great question to all of us. Who do you say that Jesus is? Who do you say that he is? It's kind of interesting. You know, I've had people say, "Well, Jesus is a good man." Well, but they don't, he's not the Son of God. He's a good man, but he's not the Savior. You know, do you see the conflict and the contradiction in that statement? If he's a good man, but not the Savior, then good men are liars because he said he was the Savior. Who is he to you? Who is he to you? Is he your Lord and Savior? That is the most important question you'll ever have presented to you. And for all of us in here, who is he to you? Who is he to you? And you know who he is? He is who the Word of God says he is. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He is our righteousness. He's our redeemer. He is who the Scripture says he is. Amen? And I tell you what, if you want an accurate picture, if you want a true picture of who Jesus Christ is, read the Bible. Read the Gospels. Read God's Word and find out who Jesus Christ really is. Amen? And let him be all of him in your life. Did you know some people just take parts of him? Just take the good parts. But, you know, for me, he's Lord. He's not just Savior. Yes, he is my Savior, but he's also Lord. That means I submit. How about the rest of us? Yeah, I submit. I do what you say. Amen? And how many of you know walking with Jesus is the best place you can walk? It's I don't know how it got spun around. I don't know how it got mixed up. But truthfully, how many of you know Jesus knows what's best for you? He knows how to have your life be full of the greatest amount of joy. He knows how to have your life be full of the greatest amount of peace. But somewhere out there, the thinking has got into people's minds that it's a drag to walk with Jesus. Anybody else ever run across that? But I mean, if you really know him and you really get to walk to him, I'll tell you what, he'll take you on an adventure. And it'll go for the rest of your life, and then it'll go on into heaven. Wow. It'll just be so cool. You know, talk about an adventure. When I was going to Bible school at Rhema, there was this couple, and they were from Sweden. And they had five children, so there's seven of them all together. And I met a lot of people from Sweden down there, and it was very, very fun. And I asked this one gentleman, he was at, you know, going to school, and his wife was with the five kids. And I said, so will you be back here next year for second year? And he goes, oh, no, we won't be back here next year. How come? Well, to have enough money to be here this year, we sold the farm. They sold their farm. Because, see, they couldn't work because they weren't citizens and didn't have all the right card and everything. So in order to come here, they had to have X amount of dollars for each person. They sold their farm to be here. They said, no, we don't have another farm to sell to pay for another year. I went to school the second year, and guess what? They were there. God is good. He got them there a second year. He came up with $75,000 for them to live on that second year. How many of you know walking with God is not a bad thing? It's a fun thing. Yet sometimes he'll ask us to do stuff that our flesh doesn't like. I get that. Do it anyway. You won't regret it. You think Jesus regrets going to the cross? No way. No way. But yet, was there that wrestling match prior to? Sure there was. Sure there was. You think Peter, John, or James, any of those guys, Paul, regret the life they lived serving Jesus? And you think about how most of them died. Whew. You get to heaven, you ask them, any regrets? They can look at you and just go, you're not really asking me that question, are you? I have no regrets for serving Jesus. So when you have opportunity to serve him and opportunity to do his will, don't let the enemy talk you out of it and tell you, oh, this, you know, you'll regret it. Or all the things he tries to get you not to walk with the Father. Walking with the Father, man, I'll tell you what. Oh, one day, we'll see how this goes today. One day, I'm on a motorcycle, and I'm cruising down the shoreline. Tropical island, not very developed at all, and beautiful green trees along this oceanfront road. White sand beaches, black sand in places, that teal water and these green trees, and I'm sitting on a motorcycle, and I got my sweetie behind me, and she's got her arms wrapped around me, and I'm cranking the throttle every once in a while so she hangs on just a little bit tighter. Amen. And I'm cruising down that road, and there's a reason I'm there. It's because of walking with God. I just said yes. Years ago to a call. Yes, had no clue where it was going to take me. I actually thought I was going to be an evangelist. But God had me in a pastor. And we ended up in Samoa, on a tropical island in the South Pacific. Absolutely beautiful. And then Tafa says, here, take my motorcycle and go for a ride. Okay, I think I will. How many of you know God's got stuff for you that's so good? Amen? But let me get to this. What's Jesus up to? Who is he to you? Verse 16, Simon Peter answered and said to him, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus is. But here's something that's interesting. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but by my Father who is in heaven. Verse 18. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. So to answer my original question, what is Jesus up to today? I can tell you what he's up to today. You know what he's up to today? He's building his church. He's building his church. Now, is he up to some other things? Yeah, he's in heaven interceding for us. Amen? He's doing some other things. But I can tell you, one of the things Jesus is up to today is he's building his church. And I love it. The scripture says, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. How many of you want to be a part of something that the gates of hell shall not prevail against and that Jesus is building? I mean, I'm in. I'm just in. I don't want hell to win, and I want to be a part of what Jesus is doing. And he's building his church. And I want to ask you a question. I have two thoughts in how. What is he doing in the process of building his church today? That's what he's up to. How many of you want to work with him? Amen. Turn and nudge somebody and say, yeah, I'm going to work with him. Amen. I tell you what, he's fun to work with. He's fun. He'll laugh right in the middle of a job. He's fun. It's just good. Y'all doing okay? You're getting really quiet on me. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Just a little bit. How's he building? And on this rock. What's the rock? You know, there have been lots of teaching and lots of thoughts about what this rock is. You know, some people want to say that the rock was Peter. Peter's not the rock. No, he was used, but he himself is not the rock. Here's what the rock is. I'm just going to say it and keep it real short. The rock is the revelation of who Jesus Christ is, brought to an individual's heart by the Spirit of God. That is rock. Okay, and Jesus is building his church. How many of you know he still works that way? How many of you know the way we get things is, it's great for me to stand up here and teach, and it's great for you to listen with your ears, but how many of you know we want something more than that going on here this morning? You know what we want? We want the Holy Spirit revealing to your heart. Will you cry out for that? Will you hunger for that? Will you desire that? Will you say, yeah, I'm coming to church and I'm sitting there and I'm hearing what the pastor says, but I also want to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. God, what are you wanting me to get? And how many of you know God could give each person in here a different truth this morning through the Holy Spirit? And here's something that's crazy. I like to point this out, and this is why it's so important to be hungry spiritually and want to see things spiritually, not just with our physical eyes and our physical ears, but with our heart to be hungry for it. What's crazy is, let me just back up a little bit at a few verses of scriptures and point something out with Peter and Jesus. So you're right there in chapter 16, keep a marker there, but go ahead and back up to chapter 15, verse 32. Chapter 15, verse 32. He says, verse 32, chapter 15. Now Jesus called the disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want them to send them away hungry. I'll tell you what. God loves you. He wants to feed you. And he thinks about the spiritual as well as the physical. Amen? Amen. Jesus is like, you know what? They haven't eaten for 3 days. I want to give them some food. Thank you, Jesus. I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Then his disciples said to him, where could we get enough bread in the wilderness to fill such a great multitude? Jesus said to them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7 and a few little fish. So they all ate and were filled. Did I miss a verse? I did, yeah. Well, yeah. So they all ate little fish. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and the fish and gave thanks, broke them, gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave to the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and they took up 7 large baskets full of fragments that were left over. Now those who ate were 4,000 men. Now I want you to do something with me just a little bit here. Was Peter part of this? Was he there on this day? Did he watched all this? So just picture it. So Jesus takes, he's got a basket. He knows how much bread is there. He knows how much fish is there. He's a part of it. He's standing right there. And they take these baskets and they start going around. And they start giving to the crowd. Peter, watch this. Amen? He was right there. But here's what I want to share with you. Did you know being right there, doing that, is not what revealed to his heart who Jesus was? How did it get revealed to his heart? My Father in heaven has revealed to you the working of the Holy Spirit. And on this rock, what rock? Revelation, knowledge of truth. Revelation, knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. Friends, do you have any idea how much we should desire and how much we need revelation knowledge? Because isn't it, Peter, turn to look at somebody and say, Peter was there. He saw it with his eyes. He heard it with his ears. He handled it with his hands. And yet that wasn't what revealed who Jesus was. Now, did that hurt? No, that didn't hurt a bit. And what's funny, if you just keep going along and backing up, I'm not going to take the time, but if you just keep backing up, you know what you're going to find? You're going to find miracle after miracle, healing after healing, event after event that Peter was right there, that he was a part of. You know, I got it in my notes. I'm just not going there. But did you know Jesus was walking by on a boat on the ocean, and they're all in the boat. And Peter says, Lord, if that's you, bid that I come walking on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter, get off his back. Amen. Turn and look at somebody and say, get off Peter's back. Just seriously, people pick on him too much. And so you know what Peter does? He gets out of the boat. And then do you know what he does? He walks on water. Now, circumstances around him got him, and he began to sink, which I think is just fascinating. How do you begin to sink? Have you ever thought about that? How much time is there between the moment your feet are on the water and the time your head is under the water? How much time is there? You know, but he began to sink, and he had enough time in this to say, Lord, save me. I would love to. Sometime we ought to do this. And I'm looking for a volunteer. We're going to go out to the lake, and we're going to hold somebody over the water, get their feet on it, and then we're going to let go of them, and we're going to see if they can actually say, Lord, save me, before they're underwater. How many of you think they can? It might get, Lord, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. So he began to sink, Lord, save me. And what did the Lord do? This is so cool. He saved him. When did he save him? Was Jesus super strong in faith right now? When he was, Lord, save me? Oh, thank you, Peter. Appreciate that, Caleb. Was Peter super strong in faith at that moment? What was it that Jesus said to him? Oh, ye of little faith? Why'd you doubt? Circumstances around him. But just get a hold of the compassion of Jesus. What did Jesus do when Peter was even in the midst of sinking? I love it. He reached out and saved him. You know what he'll do for you, and you know what he'll do for me? He'll reach out and save us. I tell you what, you know what? Get out of the boat. Amen? Get out of the boat. Well, what if I sink? Holler out, Jesus! Mm-hmm. I tell you what, there's a lot of stuff you'll never experience inside the boat. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, I get sidetracked. Peter was right there when he was walking on the water, wasn't he? He was right there. But you know what? That did not reveal to him who Jesus was. Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father which is in heaven. Folks, do you know how much we need the Holy Spirit to talk to us? We do. Okay. What's Jesus up to today? He's building his church. He's building his church. Whose church? His church. Turn to look at somebody and say, it's not Joel's church. This is important, actually. How many of you know it's not my church? How many of you know I do not own it? How many of you know it is not your church? How many of you know you don't own it? Who in here owns the church? None of us. None of us own it. We don't own the church. You know what we are? We're stewards. We're stewards and we're servants. We are not owners of the church. I'm not an owner. I don't own it. It's not mine. Did you know that I did not buy it? Jesus bought it. Jesus shed his blood. He purchased it. Amen. You know, and maybe I'm nitpicking here, but how do I come at this? Have you ever noticed that sometimes people will take better care of something they own than they will of something that they don't own? Should we allow that to sneak in when it comes to the church, even though we don't own it? No. We should be excellent stewards of the church. We should. We should be excellent stewards of the church. And I don't own it. And I hear the term, and I'm a bit of a nitpicker. Well, we got to get people to take ownership. How can you take ownership of something you don't own? But you can take stewardship of what the Lord asks you to do. And on this rock, I will build my church. Jesus is building his church. Amen? And one of the ways he does this is by revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit. This is so important, you guys. This is so important. I pray it sinks in. Revelation knowledge. Let me ask you a question. How many good ideas are there? How many God ideas are there on this Sunday morning taking place in churches across the United States and around the world? How many would you guess? How many good God ideas happening in churches? Anybody want to throw a number out? At least 12. Why at least 12? Just good number. Thank you, Caleb. There's going to be into the hundreds, aren't there? They're into the hundreds. Good God ideas happening in churches. But are all of those good God ideas supposed to happen here? No. No. Because the body's different. Amen? And we want to catch, Father, what do you have for us? What's our part in the building? What's the revelation knowledge that you have for us? And can I share with you something? I'm thoroughly convinced that this is part of it. I'm thoroughly convinced this is a part of it. Because not only do we have to have the revelation knowledge of the Holy Spirit that he speaks to our heart about who Jesus is, and then continues on in building his church. Building his church. Guess how he builds it? Guess how he's building it today? Through us. Through us. Amen? It's through us. It's through you. How many of you want to be a part of that? Oh, well, you guys seem quiet on me today. Why is that? Could you tell me why? Hallelujah. What's that, sweetie? We're chewing. Okay. Take in your Bibles and go to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. How many of you know we have a tendency to care about people we know more than care about people we don't know? Amen? We do. We just have a tendency to care more about people who we know, that we're closer to. That's one of the reasons I want us to get to know each other. Just to get to know each other. Get to know each other better. To care about each other. To be there for people. Getting that phone call. I'll bet you, Isaac, Colleen, Vaughn, Caleb, they know Pete. Grew up with him. Probably had a pretty big impact when I shared that. Hit pretty hard. And then there's other folks visiting and go, oh. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just the difference when you know somebody. Folks, one of the things we need to do is get to know each other better. Get to know each other better. Hallelujah. Turn and look at somebody, smile, make them laugh, do something. I just need some help right now. We need a little bit of noise in the church, okay? It has gotten way too quiet for me. I'm starting to get uncomfortable, and I don't like it. Help! That's a serious, desperate cry for help. They'll last 20 seconds, and they'll get quiet again. No. yeah. How many of you know we have what the world needs? We have. The world needs, use an old cliche, Jesus. And the body of Christ in the world today is Jesus. The world needs you. The world needs me. We need each other. One of the ways that Jesus is building his church is by believers building believers. Believers taking the time to build each other up with the Word of God. It is so important. It is so important. And I run across, I see people going through stuff. I see people wrestling with stuff. I see things happening in people's lives. And I know that Jesus working through us has the provision, has the victory for them. And it's us grabbing a hold of what he has for us and living it out. And how many of you know the enemy works hard to convince us that we don't have everything that God has given to us? And he tries to make us believe that we're lacking. But how many of you know in Jesus Christ, we are not lacking? Amen. And you put us all together, oh my gosh. Wow. Because what I don't have, you do. And what you don't have, somebody else has. And you put all that together, working in unity and harmony, and we're going to bring victory into people's lives. We're going to bring deliverance into people's lives. There's things they've been wrestling with for years, and we're going to stop it. We matter. The scripture says that we are the mainstay, the pillar and the ground of truth, the mainstay of truth in the world today. You take the church out, you just took truth out. You just took the mainstay out. But how many times does the enemy try to convince us that we don't matter that much, that we're not that important? Well, doggone it, we are. We are that important. We matter that much. And you know who knows it? Satan knows it. He's been getting his butt kicked for 2,000 years by a church who knows who they are in Jesus Christ. Amen. And I just want to keep on kicking. Amen. I just want to keep on walking in the authority that he has for me to walk in. And I want all of us to walk in more. Turn and look at somebody and say, you got something. Amen. You do. But the enemy would try to convince you that you don't have. He would try to tell you that you don't have. The sower sows the word. And immediately Satan comes to take away the word that was sown in their hearts. Tribulations and persecutions arise for the word's sake. The worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires of other things enter in and choke the word.
Did you know in this church that Satan has successfully stole parts of the word from people in this fellowship? Because of circumstances? Because of stuff that has happened? Because of prayers that didn't get answered? And they've come to the conclusion, well, that must not work. Has anybody ever heard people in the body of Christ, not talking about just this one, but people in the body of Christ say, well, that's not for today? And we know it's very much for today. Amen. What's the devil successfully done? Stolen. I will not let him steal from me. I will not let him steal from me. Beware lest anyone cheat you. Beware lest anyone cheat you. I could do it this way. You don't have to raise your hands. Anybody in here got any firearms? I know folks around here got firearms. I know folks around here carry them. There might be somebody with a firearm in church today, and I don't really care if you got one or if you don't have one. Doesn't bother me a bit. There's people that have them in their pickup. There's people that'll have firearms. And you know what they have them for? One of the things is to see to it that no one cheat them. See to it that no one cheat you. Some of you got to put up with this story, but we ought to be like this guy in Rushville, Nebraska. I got a phone call one day from a fellow, and he rolled his ankle mowing a yard. Is that with a push mower? And he called me up and said, hey, I rolled my ankle, and my mower is sitting out in this guy's yard. Will you go pick it up for me? Sure, what yard is it in? So he described the location. I thought, sure, I'll go do that. And I drive, and I go to right where the spot is, and sure enough, there's a mower sitting out in the middle of this person's lawn. I walk over there. I put my hands on that mower, and I take off. I'm headed to my truck. Pretty soon, the front door of that house flies open, and a guy inside yells, get your hands off my mower! I was in the wrong yard. Yeah, that guy was seeing to it that I did not steal his mower. Amen. We ought to be that way when it comes to the Word of God, when it comes to the things of God. See to it that no one cheat you. Don't let the enemy take the Word of God from you. Don't let the enemy take from you who you are. Because you know, that's what he tries to do. That's one of the first places he'll start. I've asked this question lots of times in Matthew chapter 4. Most Bibles break it down and they say three temptations of Christ. And they'll list them. Turning the bread, jumping off the pinnacle, fall down and worship. And they'll list those three temptations. And most of the people that divide your Bibles up and put those little headings on there for you, they miss the most significant temptation of all. Where Satan said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God. See, that was the most significant of those temptations. Because if you back up to chapter 3, God just spoke to Jesus when he was getting baptized and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But what's the devil do? Shows up and says, well, if you're the Son of God, if, turn and look at somebody and say, if. Dad Hagen used to say this, if is the badge of doubt. If is the badge of doubt. Turn and look at somebody, and if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, just boldly say to him, I am a child of God. Amen. Scott, will you stand up for me? Oh, we can do it both ways. Oh, I'm about tempted to do that today, David. Remember we talked about doing the videos and all the shirts I had to change? Oh, yeah. And then do one without a shirt? Oh, yeah. And play it? Yeah, I should have listened to him. See what he tries to talk me into. But just check this out. Isn't this just a good-looking man right here? Yeah. Just how red can we get, Scott? But I love it. Just check the shirt out. I am who I am, says I am. And then when you look a little bit closer, I am blessed, healed, qualified, all of these things. And this is just a partial list. Dearly beloved, I am delivered, righteous and holy, the righteousness of God. Here's a question I love to ask. Who are you? Who are you? I am who I am, says I am. Amen. And can I tell you something? That's going to get tested. The enemy is going to show up and test it. The enemy is going to show up and see if you really believe it or not. I think I just let Scott stand there the rest of the service. No, thank you, Scott. I am who I am, says I am. And then just, if you're here visiting and you want a cool t-shirt, we're selling them out there. And it's not like I'm promoting the sale of t-shirts, but all the proceeds go to our missions trip to Nicaragua that will happen sometime between now and May 7th. Amen. So if you want to help us out with a mission trip, buy a t-shirt, have a great tool. And besides that, it's a great phrase. It's true. I am who I am, says I am. Why don't you go ahead and say that with me? I am who I am, says I am. I am who I am, says I am. Now, who are you? You got scripture down in your heart that tells you who you are? Because you know what? God knows who you are better than anybody else. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. Mm-hmm. And it's not who you feel you are. Because how many of you know sometimes we don't feel like who we are? We don't. I learned a long time ago, I can't go by feelings. I would have quit so many times. I'd have given up so many times if I went by feelings. Can't. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal to me who I am. Amen. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal to me who Jesus Christ is. I need the Holy Spirit to reveal to me the giftings and the things that He's put on the inside of me. And then I need to take that and be obedient and minister to people. And how many of you know it's not just for me? Turn and look at somebody and say, I know He's talking to you today. Amen. Okay. Praise God. You're going to need to know. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I worship You. I worship You. I worship You. I do. And Father, this truth has just been exploding in my heart. And I can stand up here and do all kinds of things. But there's the one thing that I am so thankful is at work. And that is the Holy Spirit. He's at work. He's speaking to people's hearts. He's talking to them individually. Revealing truth to them, who they are, of how forgiven they are, how far the sins are thrown, as far as the east is from the west. He's revealing to people's hearts that you're accepted. You're accepted right now. Right now. You're accepted in the Beloved. You are a child of God. You are the righteousness of God. And Father, then I thank You that You keep talking to us about this. You know, it's not going to happen in an instant. God, sure, revelation comes in an instant, but the growing and the building, that continues for a lifetime. And You keep revealing things to us. You keep showing us more and more and more. And God, the end of this is so we carry out Your will on this earth. We speak into people's lives truths and they get delivered. Truths from You for them. Thank You, Father, that You use each one of us. Thank You that we have the privilege of serving You and being used by You and working with You. And then, Father, we get to work with each other. We get to work with each other. I thank You. I thank You. I thank You. And Father, it just seems in my heart, I'm going to ask You to do what it seems like I haven't been able to today. Holy Spirit, Just reveal your truth. Just speak to each heart. And then the greatest truth of all is who Jesus Christ is. Who Jesus Christ is. And if there is a person, or if there are 10 people in this building today, and they've never said yes to Jesus, they've never met him, they've never asked him to forgive them of their sins, that the Holy Spirit would witness to them right now that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is who the Scripture says he is. He is our Savior. He is our forgiver. He is our deliverer. And I thank you for that right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Let's all go ahead and stand up. And I'm going to do this way this morning. I'm just going to stay up here.